gold at 2800 plus means good things for gold stocks in this year, not like 3 years from now, in my opinion, because you've had a period now from 2020 August, let's call it 2020, to now where things have been pretty darn bad for gold stocks because relative to the ascent of gold. So we like.
Fennec, good afternoon. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, how are you, Andy?
Doing really well. First of all, I want to start off with, we got some big news. I actually launched my own fund, and then I am launching a program with you. I should say a conference here in Atlanta with you, May 14th through the 16th. Very excited about it. I believe it's going to be Atlanta's first stone natural resource conference here. And we're getting close to selling out already. So what are your thoughts about that, the timing of all this? And give me your 30,000 foot view.
I mean, the timing of any mining conference right now or commodities conference is ideal because you've got gold making an all-time high. You've got uranium, doing extremely well over the last couple of years. People are much more interested in what we're doing than they were a couple of years ago. And I think when you look at the price action from, we're recording this on February 3rd, the pre-market action was really interesting today because gold and silver both dumped overnight and then they were up pre-market when the NASDAQ was down huge, So like that's the kind of disconnect as investors we need to be looking for where our sector is zigging while the market is zagging. And that really hasn't happened for a lot of even last year where things were kind of working in tandem together, right? Now we're getting what we call a decoupling. So that's really interesting. And that's one of the reasons that I'm hosting Four Seasons Florida in Fort Lauderdale, May 11th through the 13th. And then we're all going to fly to Atlanta, your hood, to do May 14th through the 16th. And we're holding that at the Whitley, which is the former Ritz-Carlton, really nice hotel. So really looking forward to doing that with you. And for those of you guys that are in the East Coast area, we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it too. It's really going back to, let's peel that layer back a little bit. One of the themes I put out to the investors in the fund was that we expected some decoupling where we expected a correction in the broader market, specifically the NASDAQ, but we thought gold would be go higher as well as potentially silver. And we are actually very bullish on the shares because they were a value. It seems like that is working itself out, which is very pleased, but it's also really weird if that makes sense. Work that out a little bit more with me, just your thoughts, how you're playing that, and give me some specific names if you don't mind. And then let's go back, circle back about the two conferences that we have that we're really excited about.
Well, I mean, gold price has been leading for months and months and months now. GDX has been extremely disappointing. It was only up 10.17% last year. That's not going to get anyone out of bed, including Mr. Wonderful. Our sector is very challenging if you're a buy and hold investor, which we are not. We don't trade every day, but we're definitely not the type of person to put GDX away for 5 years and just set it and forget it, as we said. We are looking at this every single day. I would argue you could look at it a couple times a month and still be fine as an investor, right? But you need to have someone like me helping you through the tough times, right? Last year is a great example. It's fresh in everyone's mind. We went from January 1st to November 4th. We had a really good year in the sector. And then November 5th happened, and it's not a Trump versus, Harris thing. It was simply Trump meant let's party and the market partied. And so like Bitcoin went up, tech went up, real estate went up, like our stuff went down because you have to sell something to fund stuff. And there's just a lack of interest during November, December in our sector, I believe, anyway, because of tax loss selling. So to answer your question, we were telling our clients, hey, look, I sold about 13 to 15% of my portfolio in September to October leading up to the election, saw what happened, observed with a heavy cash balance, and then bought stuff back in December when everyone else was, doing whatever they do during the holidays, right? Like we actually worked all of December. And now that's paying dividends for us here into early February because the sector has gotten legs again. So, you know, gold at 2,800 plus means good things for gold stocks in this year, not like 3 years from now, in my opinion, because you've had a period now from 2020, August, let's call it 2020, to now where things have been pretty darn bad for gold stocks because relative to the ascent of gold. So we like Next Gold, NXGCF. That is, you know, Frank Giustra put money into the stock last summer and that really got our attention. We had bought some before that, but that was number one. Number two, Signal Gold basically partnered with Next Gold as a result of what they saw as an accretive combo, right? And now that combination has almost 7 million ounces of gold and it's trading at like a ridiculous valuation. I mean, it's trading at 45 cents US. So that one's NXGCF in the States, NEXG in Canada. Secondly, you know, another, you'll see from some of these names, Andy, one of the things I like is large deposits with a lot of ounces in the ground. So Cartier Resources for me is one of our top 20 holdings. ECRFF in the States, ECR in Canada. Philippe and I have known each other for about 4 years. He's a straight shooter. You know, he basically had a lot of skin in the game as a CEO. He buys in the open market. I love that. When you're an investor and you go to Cartier Resources website, you're going to be confused because you're going to say, why did John like this if he, you know, screens for tight share structures? Because it does have over 300 million shares out, which is something that we really normally wouldn't even invest in. But it's by doing phone calls with CEOs like Philippe, where you understand that, you know, oh, Agnico owns over 20% of the company. Oh, three of the board guys, you know, own 5 to 10% of the company. Philippe owns a big chunk of the company. I own a big chunk of the company. None of us are selling at 5 cents US. You know, this stock is ridiculously valued. It's got 2.5 million ounces ground in a good part of Canada. So we look at names like that and say, why are investors so slow to catch up to understanding that this could be taken out tomorrow, I think, if it really wanted to be. But Philippe would never let the market, let a competitor have it this cheaply. So we want to make sure that shares are tied up in good hands so that we can get to a better price, you know, situation in the market in general. And therefore, you know, if he needs to sell or wants to sell, he can sell at a much higher valuation. You mentioned silver, and I'll just mention one name there. Aftermath Silver for us has been a top holding as well. It's actually our top equity holding in silver, AAGFF in the States, AAG in Canada. Michael Williams, the founder, and I have known each other again, like Philippe, for like 4 years. And he just got another 15 million from Eric Sprott last fall, you know, in the course of two meetings with him in September and October. If you look at the press releases, they were able to bring another 15 million Canadian in from Eric. So why is that meaningful to your listeners? Because they don't have to do a financing. I mean, it's like, as shareholders, we get the benefit from Eric's money, and he's done a great job of helping our sector, as Frank Giustra and so many of these, you know, larger investors have, get us through the tough times. But we're getting to a better place now. And Aftermath is one of those stocks that has huge torque to the price of silver. I think silver is going to have a great year. You know, we have a very large position in physical silver. And we think that, you know, at 31, 32 here, you're going to see 35 by, you know, summertime. And, you know, last year it tested 35 and failed at 34.70. So, you know, you got to keep an eye on it. But once it breaks 34.70 to 35 on a few closes, you're going to see a test of 38 real quick. And then these stocks like Aftermath are going to go up exponentially because they have so much torque to the price of silver.
John, I would agree with everything you said. Full disclosure to all of our listeners, John and I did not script any of this. I had no idea what stocks was he going to mention. We just hit play and let it rip. That all being said, I am also an investor in Cartier Resources. I had no idea that John was an investor in Cartier Resources, but my fund picked up a lot of his shares that we feel was a great value. I have also spoken to Philippe. He did not pay for any of this, and he was exceptional over the phone, and he told me, Andy, I work for you, which meant a lot to me. John, let's talk about, again, real quick, wrap up. Let's wrap up a quick one today. Let's wrap up about our conferences coming up. I was at your Florida conference last October. It was fantastic. I loved because it's very intimate, if you would. You really got to rub shoulders with the CEOs. And I got paid just a tremendous amount of attention from them. And each one of them just really, really took an interest in, as me, as a potential investor. Just comment a little bit more about that. We'll talk about Atlanta and we'll land the plane.
Yeah. So I think South Florida is a really interesting part of the U.S. in that it's just been a magnet for money over the last couple of years. Fort Lauderdale is what we chose because it's a developing city in the Miami metro area. You know, it's already huge, but I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger and big money is moving to that area. So the Four Seasons Hotel we chose because it's been around just over 2 years. It's very well run. The rooms are spectacular. The ocean is literally across the street. So it's got great views, great, you know, number of restaurants and walking distance. It's really just a great place to hold an event. That said, we keep it very tight in terms of the type of companies we have and the type of investors we have. So not every investor is going to get a pass to get in the door for free. We screen for people that are buying actively in the market because we want the companies that pay us to sponsor to get something out of the event, right? It goes both ways. I mean, clients, yes, we have to take care of clients first, always. But companies also get on planes from Europe, you know, Toronto, Vancouver, all over the world, fly to somewhere like that and spend 2.5 days to meet clients, right? So like they want to meet good clients. They don't want to meet clients that are just going to sit there and talk to them about thinking about buying some shares. It's like at gold at 2,800, you need to be buying something gold related, you know, and if you can't, that's okay. Go do something else. Like it's like this conference is designed for people that on the company side see that we're in a rally. And on the client side, see that, hey, maybe I missed the first wave, but the second wave, I'm not going to miss, right? Like I'm going to attend this and I'm going to learn. Like you said, Andy, if nothing else, you learned a lot last year. I'm constantly learning. I've been doing this since year 2000 in commodities. And every time I do one of these events, I walk away with a ton of more knowledge. And having those business cards really means something because when you get when you get that news release, right, you'll be able to call that CEO or email them and say, you know, great to meet you in Florida. I had a question about today's press release. I don't really understand what you're talking about. Why is this so significant, right? And you can get that done. And I'm telling you, we screen pretty hard on the company side too. Like we want people that are proactive and reactive. We don't want people that are going to ghost clients. It's a big no-no for me. So like if they're attending, they're told by us, hey, we want you to be able to communicate with people post-conference because not everyone buys, you know, the first day or two, right?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic. Again, I still have a list of cards here. I'm looking at the list of cards that I have. I've bought many of those companies, if you would, position them to my fund. And that's really one of the places that helped me build, if you would, sizable positions in a few different companies. We have a lot of these companies coming up to Atlanta directly after that. You'll be in Atlanta. I'll be in Florida as well. We got great energy here. If companies want to come to either one, they're not quite yet sold out, but Florida's pretty close. And Atlanta's right behind it, actually, as far as being sold out. What do they're going to have, companies going to have to act quick, but what do they do if they want to, companies want?
Yeah, either companies or investors should be going to topshelf-partners.com. And there you'll see tabs for, right now you'll just see Florida. We're building Atlanta later this week, but it'll be built by next week. And basically you'll have a registration form if you're a company, registration form if you're an investor. Just fill it out. It'll be submitted to our teams. And basically one of us will get back to you within probably 2 to 3 business days after that to see if you're accepted or not. And then we'll figure it out from there. But I mean, it's going to be a really good use of time. When you look at the U.S. market, Andy, the reason I'm focusing so heavily on the U.S. is because I think it's an under-marketed part of the world. Honestly, Europe, the European market already understands mining and gets it and has huge conferences, believe it or not. If you look at Canada, same thing. BREC and PDAC, January, March are huge conferences. But between PDAC and the summertime, there's not a lot going on. I mean, there are some conferences, but some of them don't do very well. And that's why I said, hey, May is like this month where it's still great weather and like no one's doing anything. And, you know, let's do it. So that's that's kind of where this came from.
Yeah. On that note, again, I just had a discussion with a company just last week, and they said, Andy, you and Fennec are the guys in the U.S. That's pretty much it. So I really appreciated that.
That's I wish that were true, but no, I think very highly of our competitors, like Beaver Creek, you know, in Colorado, and September is phenomenal. There's great conferences, and I'm happy to talk to listeners about which ones are better than others. In my opinion, like, I've attended, you know, dozens of these things.
What you do
in my career, you know, for BlackRock and Merrill and JP Morgan, shoot, I mean, I've been to over 100 conferences, so I know what good conferences should be and what they should feel like at the client level, which is important.
Excellent. John, you've become a great friend of mine over the last 12 to 18 months. I really appreciated that. We've had a lot of great talks just off the books, just about stocks, about the market, and just life. So it's been great to get to know you, and I'm really looking forward to working both Florida and Atlanta with you. I couldn't be happier. Just wanted to tell you thank you. I'll put all of what we discussed about in the links, as well as the ticker symbols, in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel as well as on this Apple podcast and the Spotify podcast. John, thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Andy.
Bye. Take care.